AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbooks apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet.
The men's tournament is a blast every year, but I'm hyped for the women's tourney too. Got to tap in to see Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and Juju Watkins. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8777-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Thursday, March 28th. We're talking a little NCAA tournament. We're talking Braun's new show with JJ Redick, whether or not the NFL made a mistake with this new hip drop rule. We're asking, what is the meaning of the word DEI in America, of the phrase DEI in America at this point? And we're going to talk about our new money-making scheme that I've come up with at the end of the show that I'm very excited for, guys. I think this is going to be
I'm excited too, man.
For the Jenkins and Jones.
Shit.
As always, Jenkins and Jones hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Mother fucking Mike.
Coming to you live.
we're produced as always by the lovely and talented Jackson Saffron.
Waza.
All right, little NCAA tournament whip around. I think we officially reached the point now that everyone's in the Sweet 16 of what we talked about before, which is I enjoyed watching the men's tournament for the 4 straight days of nonstop basketball. But it is now the season of the women's basketball tournament because I don't give a fuck about any of these men's teams anymore. UConn's going to keep beating everyone by 30 points. Salute to them for being the first back-to-back national champion since Florida did it. But this UCLA-LSU game, Sweet 16 game we got coming Saturday morning on the West Coast, 10 a.m. on the West Coast, 1 p.m. Eastern. That is going to be a fade. I am so fucking excited for that game, bro. I don't know, man. There's so much more juice behind the women's game at this point. Like, there's so many more names. I'm excited to see Angel Reese in that game. I'm excited to see Kim Mulkey lose and get fired after the game for whatever comes out of this Washington
We still
Post
need
story.
That hit piece, man. I don't know why they're sitting on it, bro.
What's going on with that? I'm super interested. I thought they were going to drop that shit ASAP. You know what I'm saying? After she done teed it up for him, you feel me?
Yeah, I also too. I thought we were getting that top of the morning Monday, fresh off the presses, but.
Are y'all not conflicted at all wanting her to lose and wanting, you know, Angel? I just can't root against the kids for her because like it's like, fuck her. You know what I mean? That's how I'm just thinking.
I'm rooting for UCLA, so that's very easy for me.
Okay.
I'm rooting for charisma. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's how it goes in college. There's like dickheads who are coaches, but you can't root against. They're always intertwined with their kids, right? Love the LSU girls. I love what they got going there, but I fucking hate Kim Mulkey. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the conundrum there.
I feel like Angel Reese, what she went through last year, how she just stood tall, you know what I'm saying, what she represented, I just can't root against that. I completely understand rooting for UCLA and fuck Mulkey, but like Angel Reese, she the one, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Baltimore's Juju Watkins is the one. I already replaced Angel Reese as the one to me. So I'm just full on like, let's get LSU out of here. Fucking that room for UCLA, USC.
Angel Reese went through all that last year, standing tall with all that hate. Juju come in, is like, thank you. You know, come on, man. Where's the loyalty?
I've been waiting on Juju.
I love Juju,
college
obviously.
Since she was a high school freshman. Like, you know what I mean? I've never seen a women's player like her. This is the time. It's the Sweet 16. Like, she's going to really be on a, you know, for people who pay attention to college basketball, yes, like, you know, people sharing this stuff. But at the end of the day, we all know it's completely different to succeed in the tournament. They play later in the day on Saturday against Baylor. On ESPN again, like these are nationally televised games. She's on ESPN. Like I think she's gonna go fucking crazy, and I'm excited for the wider sports world to see Juju Watkins in this NCAA tournament because I think it's gonna be a revelation to a lot of people for sure.
I think this is a more difficult path, but I wouldn't be surprised if she got on her Carmelo Anthony. You know what I mean? Like that's how crazy Juju is. You feel what I'm saying?
She's about to go first three-time most outstanding player in the tournament since Breanna Stewart, baby. Juju's bringing us to the mountaintop.
I mean, there's rumors on signature shoes and shit like that. I mean, there's like a lot of like big rumors about the big steps that are coming for her.
Oh, we need that. In college too, that'd be crazy, bro. You feel me? Like, oh yeah, I would definitely wear some Juju Watkins. You know what I'm saying?
I know
they'd be fire.
They would definitely be fire.
She's not signing with Puma.
They certainly would have sort of like signature, like some Kobe elements to them for sure. Like Sabrina's shoe is already dope. And give me
Sabrina's are crazy.
Sabrina's shoe is super dope. Get me some Juju's 100%.
I would say Sabrina has the best signature shoe in under Nike right now. Who has a better signature shoe than Sabrina? Other than like the OGs that have already retired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talk about like news, but players playing, whose shoe is better than Sabrina's under Nike? I don't think Giannis is.
No, Giannis
is.
You know what I'm saying? The only one I was going to say, because Jaw is under Nike, right? Did they drop him or they still have him? I don't remember. But his are pretty nice too.
Yeah.
But Sabrina's
I think Sabrina's are better.
Sabrina's are better. I think they're better.
Yeah.
We have also had a really disturbing story out of the women's basketball tournament that I wanted to highlight because I think it's fucking insane. And I think that the NCAA needs to be held accountable for this. And I think as many people need to be talking about it as much as possible. But the Utah women's basketball team, which lost to Gonzaga on opening weekend, was staying. They're in the Spokane regional, but they're staying in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which for those of you who know your modern redneck geography, you know, that part of Idaho is sort of the hotbed of, you know, this Minutemen militia, Proud Boy bullshit that's really been on the rise in America. And the Utah women's basketball team, according to their coach, police are actually investigating, the FBI is investigating it, said that they were extremely racially harassed while they were staying in Coeur d'Alene. They said that someone in a truck with a Confederate flag was yelling racial slurs at them and revving the engine at them as they were walking to dinner the day before their game. They said that truck and a second truck were waiting as the team came out of dinner and followed them back to their hotel. They ended up switching hotels, but you know, they've released video of some of the stuff that's going on. This is fucking insane that this is happening at an NCAA sanctioned event. And it's insane that they would put players in an area that, you know, has these issues. This is not like a surprise that this is going on. Idaho, I think yesterday just made all DEI, anything related to diversity, illegal. They made diversity statements illegal in the state of Idaho. Jesus. Like the day after this story came out. You know what I mean? And now the governor is talking about, I can't believe something like this would happen in the great state of Idaho, blah, 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 blah. But I think this is fucking nuts, and the NCAA should be ashamed of itself for letting young women endure this while participating in their tournament, bro. Like, it's just fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, that's, I'm just, like, the fact that it's Utah is so wild to me, because it's like, oh, there are black people here, let's go harass them. Like, that's all that it is, right? Like you know, if it was LSU or something, you say, oh, they've got, you know, that brash shit talking Angel Reese, we don't like her, blah blah blah. These motherfuckers are just like, bro, there are black people here and we need to go harass them. There's no other way around
that. Utah, that's a great point, Tyler. Yeah,
right. Like, dog, super fucking racist, blatantly racist.
I feel like it's so irresponsible for the people in power for putting him in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they not taking this shit seriously? Do they not, you know, if they're white people, I understand how they feel. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, they've never experienced these things. This is why it's important to have, you know, like, that's why DEI is important. Not only does it, you know what I'm saying, give people opportunities that should get opportunities, but there's people in the room that when these decisions are being made, you know, can be like, nah, that's not where you want to put these black or brown kids at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I just think like it's just a lack of like how irresponsible of them for putting these kids in that situation. With like, Mike, you understand like, you know, what is going on in that area, and you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, right. I just feel like for me, it's just like, dog, how could you put these kids in this situation? I couldn't imagine being 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, dealing with that shit. Being that you're from Utah, you have some experience, but that's different. Like the Confederate flag waving, revving. As somebody that grew up with Confederate flags all over the place, you know, in Alabama, you know what I'm saying? Like that right there is even uncomfortable for me, you know, hearing that about that situation. So it's just for me, it's just like just a lack of, like, you know, you're dealing with kids here in my eyes. I'm 41. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, if that was my child, I'd be super pissed at the people that scheduled that shit. So,
well, it also highlights how, you know, we've talked about this on the show when we've done segments on the Confederate monuments that came down in Tyler's hometown of Richmond. Like, you're waving the Confederate flag at people in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, is like you could throw a fucking football into Canada. Like,
right.
There's you're nothing really Confederate the South,
you know, geographically, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That heritage, not hate bullshit. Don't fly in fucking.
No, nah, that's just hate, brother. Cause ain't no heritage of this, you know, of the Confederate flag there. So yeah, that ain't the South, like you said, but it's crazy.
So I mean, the only thing I can hope is anytime something horrible like this happens, that something comes out of it is like, yeah, the people in the athletic department of Utah who let the NCAA book in that hotel room or book that hotel room. You need to think about the well-being of your student athletes when you're traveling around. Like you said, you might think being in Utah that you have like some idea of stuff, but that militia shit is completely different, bro. And that and Utah needs to be better. The NCAA needs to be better. So, but also hopefully the people in Coeur d'Alene, like, that's your fucking city. I know for sure. Like, every city in America is like 60-40 in one direction or another. If you're the 40% of people, y'all better figure some shit out, bro. Like, you had an NCAA basketball team come stay at a hotel in your fucking city, and they have dudes revving trucks at them. Like, that's I hope that the people in that city are fucking embarrassed about that, bro. Like, everyone everywhere has got to do whatever they can to get over this shit and to get further exercise those people out of society, because it's fucking horrific, bro. I guarantee those trucks had a license plate on them. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
I think the 40%, like, is not in those areas, is closer to like the middle, where they just allow that. You know, that shit doesn't bother them. It just is what it is to them. We don't see the 40%, like, you know, Dems like out here that would be like irate fucking, you know what I'm saying, picketing if that shit would have happened. You know what I mean? So it's more like I feel like when I was in Alabama, like, if you spoke out against that shit, even the people that were on the left would be like, bro, like, just don't make a big deal out of it. You know, they're going to do what they're going to do. That's how I felt like it was when I was in high school. So, but yeah, bro, I just feel like that 40% ain't the type of 40% to stand up for shit. you know, I mean, they just don't agree with what the people did, but they ain't going to do nothing about it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. Jackson just texted, just sent this because this just broke, but apparently Ice Cube has offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play in the Big Three during the offseason.
Sheesh.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. I don't know how you turn down $5 million for like fucking what, 5-6 weeks of work? Like, bro.
That's probably, if going to the WNBA, how much more would that be?
The max salary in the WNBA is capped pretty low. And
is it a million?
Yep.
Is it a M? Or like it's like half a million?
Well, and look, we've talked about this. No, the most a WNBA player can earn is $234,936. The minimum is $64,000. And as we've discussed this on the podcast before, but when I was covering the Sparks, that's something Candace Parker talked about quite a bit, was the reason all these players play overseas is because they are making more money doing that. Because the WNBA's attachment to the NBA, you could talk about, yes, did the NBA support the WNBA when it was not financially viable as it was getting off the ground? 100% yes. However, it is seen as a, like, it's not seen as a competitive league that people want to invest money into by all the people who own teams in that league. And a $234,000 salary cap for a max player is fucking nuts in any pro sport in America at this point. Like, just remove that and have the ability to actually sign players for what they would be worth. You know what I mean?
I interviewed Angel Reese and she was talking about how, you know, she'd make more money in college, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just from like the deals that she'd have on the side, you know what I'm saying? And I think her deals are like between 3 and 4 million. Like, they have to do something about that. I don't see an Angel Reese or something like, you know, these girls are making so much money coming out of college and somebody offering them 234 max. Fuck out of here. Just off, you know, like the strength. I'm not settling for none of that bullshit. You know, being how valuable they are.
You make high school principal money. Like,
they make that much money, it's crazy. But
depends on where you live in California.
Yeah, yeah.
High school
California, that's crazy. Yeah. Sheesh. Damn, Kenneth, you know what I mean? Looking kind of run me, brother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but no, like I think I just can't see them settling for that. Being at like, you know, they're coming from like these big brand deals, they're having these big, you know, and they're so much more valuable. And I think the women actually are making more money than the men for the most part. In women's basketball, you know, compared to men's
across
basketball.
Across the NCAA, that's very true. And some of that obviously is sort of the women's gymnastics athletes, you know, some of them are doing very well. Like some of it is sort of the, if you have a big social media following, your brand power is obviously higher. So that tends to be female athletes more so than male athletes. So I don't know about the specific comparison of women's basketball players and men's basketball players, but I would guess that follows the trend for sure.
Okay.
And Ice Cube, like, he's not exactly creating a league that has is available to all women, but in his messaging, he had a little Twitter thread about part of why he's doing it. And he was like, skeptics laugh when we made Nancy Lieberman the first female coach of a team. They laugh when we made Lisa Leslie a coach and then she won it in her second year. And American women should not be forced to spend their off seasons playing in dismal and dubious foreign countries just to make ends meet in these anti-women regimes such as Qatar. Like, he is messaging it, and I mean, it's obviously he has his own motives, obviously. But like,
come a long way since supporting Trump, I see.
But that's not just lips. I mean, like, we saw what happened with Brittany Griner, man. Like, we're sending our greatest female athletes to countries that are actively misogynist or working against America. Like, I mean, like it is a dangerous situation. And even if he is just messaging it, it's smart fucking messaging.
Yeah. For like, sure. And these guys on motives, but it's the right step forward. And it's dope. I hope she does it, bro. I would love to see her place.
Coaching and playing against dudes is different, but I mean, if you can shoot that motherfucker from 35,
it's not the NBA. It's like, you know, it's the Big Three. Yeah. I feel like that's like she could kind of cook there.
If you can shoot that thing from 35 feet, you can play anywhere.
They got a 4-point shot in that league. She's going to put up 40 a game.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So well, I'd like to see it for sure.
I hope she does it just because I feel like I feel like it would be the easiest way to resolve this salary, max salary issue in the WNBA. I mean, like, that's a horrible look for the WNBA.
if an American league is awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's, if you look at the history of pro sports, this is how, you know, like, for people in our generation, if you want a higher salary, you change jobs. For people in pro sports, if you want higher salaries, have someone start a rival league. I mean, that's how that worked for the NBA. It worked for the NFL. Start golf. Someone that's throwing around enough money that the people in the main league go, shit, I guess we better start taking this shit seriously. Because if Caitlin Clark is looking at it like, well, I could get paid a shitload of money in college. I could get paid a shitload of money by the big three. I could get paid a shitload of money overseas. Oh, and the WNBA. You know, like, that's not the position that you want to be in. And I would hope they would be rightfully embarrassed about the biggest stars in college looking at the big three over the WNBA.
Wasn't BG going to play because she was like, her salary was like $1 million over there, wasn't it, or something like that?
They all get paid. Yes, the top players all make more money overseas than they make.
And so, like, but more money, it's not just more. But I'm saying, Mike, that's not just more money. That's four times the amount.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, like she's put in a predicament where, like, nigga, like, I'm not gonna go over there and get my M. I know this is not safe, but gee, like, that's $1 million. It's not just her, like, being hard-headed. She's in a really tough situation, you know what I mean? And that's just because, like, that cap is ridiculous. That's insane.
Yeah,
the quality of talent, like, you know what I'm saying, like, we just talked about like the best shoe released is not a men's shoe, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, you know what I mean, like they're extremely popular, you know. It's just and growing in popularity. 234, you know, like, for Sabrina Ionescu, her making that much money is insane to me.
Well, again, the way I found out about this was covering the Sparks. I show up for the season opener, and Candace Parker's not there. Chelsea Gray's not there.
Yeah, they're getting their real money.
I asked the coach, I was like, what's the deal? He's like, well, they're all in the playoffs, and I can't really tell them to report for their side hustle.
Yeah, this article that I'm reading set on Sporting News says Brittany Griner's career earnings in the WNBA is about $1.5 million. And in one season, she can make $1 million plus over in the international.
Crazy, crazy.
All right.
$5 million is probably going to be more than if this salary cap stays the same, you know what I mean, than her entire, you know, career earnings.
Yeah.
Like, five times, you know, or maybe twice as much at least. That's just crazy. That's just, yeah, just disgusting.
Vanessa's Antetokounmpo's making like five times that every year, you know, of her career earnings, bro. Wow.
To fake fight on the sideline. You know what I'm saying? Like,
did y'all see Thanasis's new podcast, Analysis?
I ain't mad at it. I'm interested. Yeah. The name got me.
Analysis. He got a pretty big name for one of his first episodes too. Yeah, I guess he's got a good connection with Yannick. Okay.
I was like, who? Oh, okay. Midway through the who? Oh.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So speaking of NBA player podcast, how excited are we for the new LeBron James, JJ Redick, Jason Gallagher podcast?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I haven't tapped in with it yet. I do plan to tap in with it this week, though. But the clips that I've seen, like when he was talking with JJ, it's just like, bro, like it's Bron in his element. You know what I'm saying? Like I've always said, I think, you know, on my long list of bullet points of why Bron is the GOAT, I think he has the best basketball mind ever of any NBA player. And he is just putting it on full display there. And JJ, of course, a fucking basketball savant, too. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to the battle of the wits there.
I mean, also what I loved about it, too, I actually watched it. And it was just like, JJ was just a shooter, right? He's just, that was his job. You know what I mean? But to be that, you know, this is how much, as long as he wasn't to be successful, this is how well you have to know the game. He's breaking shit down in such a beautiful way. Him and Bron, obviously, you know what I mean? But also how much respect they have for the players. You feel me? And, you know, with, you know, in an industry where, like, it's leaning towards it with the players' pods, this is the version that I love. I don't really listen to basketball pods. You feel me? Like, we talked about it be like some fucking history shit or some goofy-ass geopolitical shit. Like, it's not basketball shit kind of like whatever. You know what I mean? But this is the way I love to hear basketball talk like that. They break down like, you know, horns chest and floppy action and all that type of shit. And I'm like, when I was playing ball, we was running like motion. So there wasn't a lot of read. There was more reads. It wasn't a lot of like sets that we had. You feel right. me? It was like you read the defense, you make a decision based upon that. You feel me? And so like to see like, you know, people them breaking down like, you know, their thought going into the stuff. They talk about like you know, the Warriors shit. And also like they broke down how the plays go. Well, JJ does at the beginning of the show, and he broke it. He broke the first option, and he told the second option. I was like, "Woo!" When I looked at the second option, and then he looks in the camera, he goes, "It's fucking impossible to stop." And so it's funny to see like me feel like, "Oh my god, that's crazy," and he feels the same way. You know what I mean? But dog, like it's really beautiful basketball talk for like getting in the weeds of basketball nerddom.
Yeah,
for guys that are like, you know, been at the you know. At the highest point of the game, you know what I'm saying? It's just it's beautiful, bro. It's a great pod, a great idea. So,
and I love the graphics too. I mean, like as they were talking, like they would talk about like, oh, you know, help coming from the nail, and they'd put a little thing that's like explains what the nail is. Like I thought it was really unobtrusive. I thought it was a smart way to take a conversation that, yes, like if we're being honest with you, it's probably at a high enough level that a lot of it's going to go over a casual basketball fan's head. I thought they did a great job of like bringing people in and kind of helping people understand. Like I told y'all, I have a friend who's a professional baseball player who's been watching basketball his whole life. He texted me last year, was like, wait, are they running plays? Like he didn't know. He'd been watching basketball his whole life. He didn't know they were running plays.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, he thought they were just hooping.
So
you know, that's the fan that you're trying to bring along to understand the intricacies of what's actually happening. I think that this podcast is a great way to do that. People will pay attention to it because it's Bron, you know, and hopefully it's helpful in the way. But it also, I just thought it was like super entertaining. He had Bron had an anti-bag rant that I fucking loved that they just put up on social from the most recent episode, John, where he was talking about
how much
he hates the ones concept that he's like, this is fine. And he said, I've had people say to me in games, stop doubling me. Why do y'all keep doubling me? And Bron's like, this is 5-on-5.
This is basketball.
This is real basketball. Like, but it's just the emotion that he has for the sport is so like pure and beautiful. Like, I don't know. I've just loved all that. Like, he's subtweeting it. Whoever it was must have been good because he said that they had 40 points at the time.
And
I don't know.
I think another cool thing about it is we talked recently, and I think fairly so, about JJ going on First Take and being like, do fans even want to be educated? And like the answer is like some of them do and some of them don't. And that's fine. And like this is the perfect vehicle to serve the ones who do. Like LeBron is going to bring enough eyes, like you're saying, where if JJ is just like breaking down these actions like by himself or with like Tim Legler, like you really get a smaller set of amount of eyes on it. But you do it with LeBron James and you get to make it very fun and casual and cool and also very, very informative for the fans who want to be informed. It's dope.
And even for me, like as somebody like that, I love the fuck out of basketball. I don't think I would consider myself like a casual fucking fan, but like, you know, like I had an opportunity to go to the Warriors finals game when they were playing the Celtics, right? And I wanted to give up my seat. I offered to give up to one of the producers because he had never been in a finals game, but also because I like watching the game from home so I can see the off-ball action. You feel me? So like, talking about like, you know, them breaking down like their thought going into why they do this in that situation. Like for me as somebody that loves watching that shit, like I think watching basketball and just watching the ball, you're missing a lot of the beauty of the game. You know what I'm saying? And so like them breaking down their thought going into it and why they do it and how why they run it consistently and the different options in it. Like I get to really like, oh, you know what I mean? Like while watching the game, peep, oh, this is why they did this in this situation and stuff like that. I think that's great, bro. But like you said, like, you know, making it inclusive where they're having real basketball nerd shit, but like, yo, join in on this. There's no
judgment. You have to make the education entertaining, bro. Like as someone who works in news media, I'll tell you this, like people can launch whatever criticisms they want at the media and what the media chooses to cover. People do not like eating their broccoli in this fucking country, dog.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
I mean, that's just, that's a fact. People want, when they log on to social media, they want all dessert all the time. And if you can try and educate people, you have to put some cool graphics and LeBron James on that shit. Like that is just the fucking truth of it, bro.
But the fact that Bron is talking basketball, like he's like, we talk about him being the best basketball mind ever, and it's still being inclusive. Like you can,
yes.
Like it's not just the fact that it's like, you know, Bron, a big name, it's the fact that his brain is his brain.
Yeah.
And he's talking basketball and they want you to be a part of it. I mean, there's something special about that. And you know what I mean? To me. But yeah, bro, I just love the thought that went into creating this pod. And I think this is what, you know, somebody wrote, like, this is the beginning of the future of basketball pods and shit. I don't know if that's true, but if it is,
we'll see.
I'm not mad at it. You know what I'm saying?
There's only so many LeBron James and so many JJ Redick.
Yeah, for sure. Not many people can talk about the game in the way they talk about the game. You know what I mean?
There's and a lot of people doing that right now, and they're not. Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. But I do like the thought that went into this, and I love how when they talk about players, the respect they have for the players is just crazy. Like you know, like. We'll mention Ben Simmons. We throw a joke in and we just fucking, you know what I mean? They talk about Ben Simmons. It's like they look at Ben Simmons as the hooper that was a multi-time all-star. What was he? Three-time all-star? So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. If I could get in the weeds on a very technical rule change that the NFL has just made that I actually think is like so horrible. Did y'all hear about the NFL banning hip drop tackles, and do y'all know what that means?
Yes.
All right. Tyler, I know you're tapped in. John, does that mean anything?
I looked it up. I looked it up, what it meant.
Okay. So for our fans, for listeners who don't know what it means, a hip drop tackle is if any of the three of us had to tackle an NFL player, the hip drop tackle is how we would do it. It's grabbing onto a guy and then doing what my kids love to do when they were trying to hurt my back, just going dead leg basically and just dropping to the ground, right? And the feeling of the NFL is that it's causing too many injuries, or at least that's what they're saying. And it does appear that a good portion of the people out there have bought that this is a player safety issue. I do not buy that at all. I think this is simply if you are trying to create more points, which they said in the same rules committee thing, that they have a target number of points that they want both teams to score each game for quote unquote the good of the game. You just shrink the strike zone. You can't hit guys in the head and you can't tackle in this way. The NFL knows that it is in a situation with defense where in order to keep up with the spread offense and the speed of the players, defenses are smaller than they used to be. Tight ends are dominant in the NFL right now. And so you say, let's effectively make it impossible for a nickel cornerback to tackle a tight end. You are telling a 5'10", 180-pound nickel cornerback.
Head up,
they
nigga.
They got to go heads up with Travis Kelce.
Oklahoma drill.
But I first of all, I'm pro play. I'm very pro player safety. But I also know a number of people who play in the NFL, and I know a number of people who play defense in the NFL who feel actively legislated against by the moves that the NFL has made. I don't really think there's an argument against that. Players tackle lower now because it's a fine and a penalty and an ejection potentially to tackle high. So, you know, what you're going to see, and this is what I'm really upset about with it, I think they said there were 230 instances of hip drop tackles last year. You are going to see so many bad interpretations of this rule, first of all. You are opening the door for flopping in the NFL, which like quarterbacks and punters and kickers would try and sell a call to get a roughing penalty or whatever. But you're now going to have on any single tackle the ability for a ball carrier to shift their weight such that a defender falls on them and it looks like a hip drop tackle. That's a free 15 yards. Is for sure going to enrage America at some point in a nationally televised game. And I personally think that at some point with the sport of football, you have to acknowledge, and I don't know any player who plays in the NFL who does not acknowledge this, that it's a dangerous game, but you're not making it safer necessarily by making it harder on the defense. You're just making it easier on the offense. In my opinion, that's the true objective. I think they achieved their objective in that, but I hate this. And it's hard enough to tackle NFL players. The defense is disadvantaged enough that taking away tackling in this way, I just think is like way too far.
I know the happiest people on the planet are like Baltimore Ravens fans after they picked up Derrick Henry and this rule came down. We are about to see the renaissance, bro. We are about to see the revival. They might have thought that man was done, but he might have some more in the tank, bro. But yeah, I mean, I will say this. They did make a good case with the numbers that they crunched, regardless of where you stand on it, where they said like out of the like 230 or so, like 15 resulted in time missed injuries, which is that's a pretty high clip, bro. Right? Like 15 out of 238, that's about, I don't know, 6% or so. You know, something like that. And you know, if you know, six out of 100 tackles are resulting in people getting sidelined, I feel like that's a pretty high clip.
I just don't know what the I did see that stat. I don't have enough content. Like, to me, the horse collar tackle was an obvious enough one. It's, it feels like almost every time someone gets pulled down by the back of their pads, they hurt their leg. So like I totally understand that. To me, the difference on this, first of all, I don't know, like, what is the normal rate for how many tackles result in injury. You know what I mean? And then the other thing to me is it is a dangerous game, but you do also have, like, the point of it is that you have to tackle these guys. And so like, yeah, like gator rolling, there's all kinds of shit that should be banned for sure that are like intentionally done to injure. To me, and I've known defensive players who did not mind injuring offensive players, I've never heard anyone talk about a hip drop tackle. First of all, a lot of these guys, as they were doing it, did not have that name for it. It was just like, if you got a big dude and you're in a certain position on his body, if you try and like push tackle him, he's just going to run for 30 yards. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I don't know if, so now guys try and just do shoestring tackles and we end up with a rash of ankle and Achilles injury. Like, I just don't know. I don't know how trustable that stat is, just because almost by definition, you're tackling from a disadvantaged position. So if they have to tackle, it's probably not going to be like a form perfect tackle, right? And I don't know. Does that kind of tackling generally result in more injuries, or is it like this specific move? I don't know. But I saw that said. That's fair for sure.
Do you believe what's bothering you is that you believe this is disingenuous, like, you know, why they're doing it, or is it the result of what it would be like? You think it'll be like an arcade game offensively now? Like, what part is bothering you more?
I think it's disingenuous, and I also just think they continue to put, like, both, every player in the game has agreed that they're going to play a dangerous game for a lot of money, and they either love the game or they love the money, but they've all agreed to be there. And they're telling half of those players, every injury that happens is your fault. You know, like, that's the part of it that I don't like. I don't think it's fair to defenders. Like, offensive linemen have just as many issues with CTE as receivers who take big hits. It's just the visibility of it is, oh, these defenders are playing this way. And I, again, like, you're not offering anything in compensation for, I mean, it's to me would be like if the NBA was like, well, we put the hand check rule in place because it's causing tendonitis in people's wrists. It's like,
right.
You put the hand check rule in place because you think you sell more tickets if teams score 120 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest about that. And again, in the same competition meeting, they said, we want teams at about 27 points a game. Like, that's what they said.
That's an interesting approach. Like, I didn't, like, That's I don't how do you do that is about things like this, but I think that's crazy that they had we want this is the average score we want. They think about every little thing when you know creating when yeah. it comes to like this I don't know. It's crazy.
Anyway, I don't know. Tyler's right. I'm not saying there's no science behind it or whatever. I don't know how you're gonna do it.
I mean,
anyway,
I feel like we'll be just fine because I remember when the horse collar tackle got banned and we were like, oh man, what are we gonna do now? And you know, the game goes on, bro.
Yeah, for sure. It just goes on with more of my least favorite part of it, which is someone hits a quarterback and then we all sit there and go, huh? How will this be interpreted? What do the judges say?
Before you do a fucking front flip off your couch and land on you. You know what I mean? Like, now yeah, you're like, sure. Can I celebrate? Because I don't know yeah. what happened. Yeah, that makes sense.
But you're right. I'm definitely tired. I'm not one of those people who's like, the sanctity of football has been ruined for me. I'm not one of those people. I
know you're not, but I was wondering if it. I was wondering if it was coming from that place. It seemed like it was for a little bit. But yeah.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, exactly. he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Let's skip to the last topic because we got to get out of here. But I have an idea, fellas. Podcast world is changing. We got to make sure we've got additional streams of revenue. You ready for my idea?
Hell yeah.
I don't know if y'all saw the viral clips from the Alpha Male boot camp that were going around where people were paying $18,000 to have a fucking Proud Boy spray him in the face with a hose and tell him they're a pussy.
Is this real life?
This is real life. So I want to propose that we start the Jenkins and Jones Alpha Male Boot Camp.
We make people express their emotions.
You say give us $20,000 and John and Tyler will make fun of how you look for 15 minutes.
I don't know if I could even do that, bro. Like, I'll be like being mean to like assholes, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
like, if someone actually signed up for that, I would want to have like a heartfelt talk with them. Like, bro, what's going on, man?
I think that's how we get them the hook, though. We get the hook is like, you know, and then we draw in the insecurity and then help them work through their insecurities. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
I've been right where you were before. You know what I mean? But the hook is we going to fire your ass up and make you feel like shit. But we do the opposite. That's the Jenkins and Jones way. You feel me?
It's a $20,000 alpha male boot camp, and then when they walk in the door, it's just therapy.
Right, right. That would probably scare them more. They have to deal with their actual issues. Holy shit! I gotta talk about my trauma. Oh my god! You know, speaking about emotions, yeah, that probably scared them more. Honestly,
we just they come in the door. We just sit down. Have you considered an emotionally fulfilling monogamous relationship?
Do you know there's ways of expressing yourself that don't involve anger? You know what I mean? You can just be sad. You know?
That's, I, you know, I was thinking we'd come up with like a bunch of horrible shit to do to people, but I like that idea so much more. $20,000 will turn you into a real man, and you walk in and it's just someone like, so what's your relationship with your father like?
right. There's a reason you're avoided. Let's speak on that.
Are you using the gym to replace, to fill another hole in your life?
What are you running from? Why are you so committed to the treadmill at this moment?
I think it's a moneymaker, fellas. I really do. You know,
I think there's something there.
You know.
And the good news is these alpha males definitely not listening to our podcast, so they'll never know the grift ahead of time. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, did y'all didn't see the pictures that were going around? I mean, it's literally like a dude. There's a guy in one of them. And I think they said it was $18,000 to go to this alpha male boot camp. This dude's got these guys sitting in desks, like school desks, and he's wearing like the fake, you know, the fake military shit all those dudes like.
Yeah.
And he's yelling. He's like, look around you. 60% of the people here won't be here at graduation. Look to your left. Look to your right. 60% won't make it. And then he like picks up a knife and he's like, I'll make fucking sure they're not here. I'll cut this tattoo off my wrist before I let someone graduate here who doesn't deserve to graduate. And all these fucking dudes, it's not really funny, bro, but it's also so funny. All these dudes are looking at him like, yeah, he's really going to make sure that only the alphas get through, bro. Like,
yeah. This is a man. To
that kind of man. I don't understand that as being someone's vision of being an alpha male. I genuinely do not understand where that comes from.
I think the vision of what they think a man is the problem. You feel me? Like, because you think that's a man. You don't think what you are being is manly. So right. You follow that shit. Like, nigga, like, you define what a man is to you. There's no overall general, you know, description that fits everybody that's a man. And I think that, and I think these people have just bought in to the bullshit of what a man is. So a fucking dude up there imitating a G.I. Joe or a character is that's not a human, nigga. That's an act. You feel me? Like, you know what I mean? That's a character that he's playing, and you believe it because this is what you tell yourself a man is. This is what you believe or have been socialized to believe that what a man is. But that's crazy, bro. Unfortunate, nigga. Like, come on, G. How much money did they make, though? How much money did they make? I wonder how many people like that.
There was probably 40 or 50 people in the room. So what's that? So insane
that many people with that much money believe in what, you know, believe that that guy right there is going to teach them how to be better at being a masculine man.
If they got 40 people paying $18,000, that's $720,000.
Hey, man,
let's do it.
No, I'm saying let's do it for show. And also, we talk about banning the tripod. Bring these tripod niggas back, man. Let them influence motherfuckers to paint their nails and they facial regimen. We need more of that. You know what I mean? Because these people are fucking dangerous, dog. You know what I mean? Unban the tripods, you know what I'm saying?
$18,000, you come in, and it's just the three of us sitting there ready to play Smash Brothers with you and talk about your childhood, bro. Like, bro, let's do it.
Let's run it.
Eating gummy bears and shit, you know what I'm saying?
I know we got to get out of here, but on the last note, that was like, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one draft pick in the NFL. He had a pink phone case yesterday, and like alpha male Twitter was like, this is supposed to be a leader of men.
I saw one guy.
NFL players do not give a fuck about any of that shit, bro. If that dude comes in and is balling, he's a leader of men. Congratulations.
I like how Caleb does not give a fuck. Like, he is himself.
I love it.
Like they got on him for going and crying on his mom's shoulder when the season ended. Like, bro, like all the macho bullshit around football. Like, it's a lot of macho shit bullshit around sports, but football has it the worst by far, dog.
And that's man shit to me, bro. Being comfortable being yourself. You know, painting your fucking nails. I got the pink case. You know, and then they were like, have we ever seen Caleb with a woman? And then they show his girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, nigga, you know what I mean? A creative player. You
feel me? Like, with the sliders, nigga, up.
this is who you would purchase online to bank. You know what I mean? You'd have to buy coins to create that that girlfriend, you feel me?
You'd have to sell a lot of alpha male boot camp memberships, brother. all right, that's all the time we got. We'll be back on Saturday with the mailbag episode. Thanks to everyone who sent questions in. If you're listening to this Thursday morning, we probably haven't recorded it yet. Email jenkinsandjones@gmail.com. And I hope the rest of everyone's week goes well. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
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 The Volume.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.